you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. In just a few moments, we're going to be reading a few verses out of that particular chapter as a setting for our lesson this morning. It certainly is good to have each and every one of you here. Those who are visiting, we are glad that you have taken this opportunity to come and to be with us. As we say every Sunday morning, it is our intent, and any time that we come together, to worship God and worship Him as He has directed in His Word. In Genesis chapter 13, we want to read in just a few moments the account of Lot in verses 5 through 13. We probably already know the story of Lot and the things that happened unto him. He was the nephew of Abraham and lived with Abraham and traveled with him during the time or after the time that his father had died, and so was with him. Let us read verses beginning in verse 5 down through verse 13. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and Perizzites were then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you will go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tents even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. We want to study Lot this morning as an example, we might say a negative example. There are many ways that we have of learning lessons. There are those things that would be experienced in our own life. Or we might look at examples of others, and there are basically two kind of examples or illustrations, and that is those that are positive, those individuals that we would look at their life and see the things that they're doing, that they're pleasing in the sight of God, and try to imitate what we see that is there. There are those that would be negative examples. That is, we learn from them because as we observe their life, we find out that they did those things that were contrary to the will of God. And we can learn by staying away from the things that they were doing. Lot is one who is, we might say, a negative example. And we can learn a great deal from him. A person who ruined, or Lot was a person who ruined his life because of the decision that he made. And we can learn how we might avoid the pitfalls that would be before us if we can look at his life. You know, a negative example is something that we can learn a lot from. I don't know if they still do it, but they used to in the years past. Sometimes they would take an individual who was a prisoner, someone who was a convict, and in order for children to learn lessons, they would take this individual and they would go to children and they would talk about the life that they have lived, the life of crime that caused them to get into the situation that they were in at that time. And this would begin to make an impression upon children as this was a negative example. And they would say to themselves, "I don't want to be like that." You know, oftentimes we as parents do that same thing with our children. We have made mistakes in our life. And we don't want our children to follow in our footsteps in that particular way. And so we will strive to impress upon them, "You don't do these things because here is what I did and here is why that was wrong. Or why someone else did it and it was wrong." We don't have to experience things in order to learn them. We can learn things from positive as well as negative examples. And Lot was one of those negative examples that we want to talk about. He was the nephew of Abraham. And certainly, as we can see, he did ruin his life. And in the things that he did, we can learn from him. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we find that the things that were written before were written for our learning and for our admonition, that through patience and through suffering, we might understand, or of the scriptures, we might have hope. What are some of the lessons that we can learn from this particular individual? We want to spend our time in a study of these few passages here and the life of Lot and see what we might find out. I believe as we examine the life of Lot and the things that he had, we would certainly come to the conclusion that he had a lot going for him. That there were many things that were in his favor. He had the good influence of very godly relatives. I don't believe that any of us would say that Abraham and Sarah were a bad influence upon Lot. In living and in associating with them, he would see those individuals who were certainly living by faith, that they would have this kind of good influence upon him. He was subjected day in and day out to this kind of influence and these kinds of situations. And certainly Abraham was a righteous person. And we can find that Lot also for a while seemed to follow in that kind of footsteps before he made a decision that was bad in his life. Wherever Abraham went, Lot went with him. And as a result of that, as we read here this morning, Lot was able to prosper as a result of this close association with Abraham. They shared so many things in common. This constant companion of this godly family that was faithful in the sight of God. And God blessed Abraham with wealth, and as a result, as we said, Lot found himself being a very prosperous and wealthy man. And it even says that Lot was a righteous person. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, we find Peter making a comment about Lot there and about what God was able to do. It says, "And delivered righteous Lot, who is oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." Peter here was talking about righteous Lot living in that city of Sodom and also in the plains there of Sodom and of Jordan. And he was able to see the things that the people there were doing. And this vexed him. I think that's the word that is used in the New King James. We read here where it tormented him. He did not like the things that was going on in that city that he himself was living in. And this vexed or this tormented his soul. He was a person also, as we can see as we turn over to Genesis chapter 19, who was an individual who extended hospitality to all those that came his way. If you will remember, God appeared unto Abraham and told him that he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And how that Abraham was pleading with God that he would not, if even he found 10 righteous people there. God was not able to find 10 righteous people, and so he sent 2 of his angels there, and he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. How that these 2 individuals came into the city, and Lot would not allow them to stay out into the streets because he knew of the wickedness and the evil conduct of the men and the women of that city, and so he would not allow them to stay in the streets, and he invited them into his house. He wanted to protect them. So we find in the case of Lot, he had many things that were going for him. So many things that were in his favor. Yet something, as we're going to see, went wrong in his life. I believe we can even draw a lesson from this ourselves. If we knew nothing else about Lot, we ourselves can draw a lesson. Because as we are sitting here this morning, in 20th century America, think of all the things that we have going for us. We are probably more physically blessed than any nation that has ever been in existence on the face of this earth. Now, we might think of ourselves as not having a great many things in this life. We wish that we would have more. But as far as the standard that is set in the rest of the world, we're head and shoulders above everybody else as far as physical possessions. All you have to do is visit some other nations and you'll find this out. I spent some time in Vietnam. I spent some time in Mexico with the saints down there. And if you had that opportunity to go and to be with them and see what they had or what they, we might look at it as what they failed to have, we have many things. We have great possessions. We have the things that really our hearts desire for the most part. We are blessed. We have so many things going for us today. Many of us, as we are sitting here this morning, have grown up under the influence of godly parents and godly relatives. Some of us may have even been, as we sometimes say, grew up in the church. We grew up learning the Word of God and understanding what the Word of God has to say and striving each day of our life to apply that in our life with the influence and with the help of godly parents and godly relatives. We might even point to our own family with pride and say, they are Christians. They have been Christians ever since they learned the truth. We grew up, many of us, in a home where the Word of God was respected, where it was read all the time, and we attended the assemblies of the saints whenever it was possible. Look at how much we have going for us, just as Lot did. We have so many things, and yet we find ourselves so often in exactly the same situation that Lot found himself in. We can watch ourselves slowly erode simply because of some bad decision that we have made in our life. And this is what happened to Lot. There was one bad decision that he made. And all of this that he had going for him, in the end, was taken away from him as a result of that. So much in his favor, and so much even in our favor. Yet sometimes we fail to do God's Word, to understand what He would have us to do and apply those things in our life. Certainly we can say, look at what Lot had in his favor. We do the same. But Lot made one decision that really proved to be the ruin of his life. As we read there, in Genesis chapter 13, that he was given the choice. And he made the choice that he was going to pitch his tents toward the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, of the plains of the Jordan. I believe that the decision that he made reflected a bad attitude on his particular part. I believe that it shows unto us that in the case of Lot, he was, if not more, he was at least a little bit selfish. He wanted that which was best for himself. He chose the part of the land that was most desirable to the eye. He looked at the plains of the Jordan, and his conclusion was, that will be good for me physically. That will be good for my flocks and for my herds. I will be able to have greater flocks and greater herds. I will become more and more prosperous and more wealthy as a result of that. He wanted these things for himself. He looked, and all he saw was those things that were physical. You know, again, this is the same attitude that is present in many of the decisions that we make in our own life, isn't it? This is the attitude that we have. Especially is this true with those who might be younger than we are. Younger than perhaps my age and my generation. Not that it doesn't affect us, and it doesn't affect all of us. But we see things, and the decisions that we make concerning that are based solely on a physical appearance. How we might prosper. How it might satisfy us. A decision is made, perhaps by a young person, to disregard the warning of godly parents. Godly parents have come through these things, and they're warning their children, you don't do this. You need to consider more than simply the physical, the outward appearance of certain things. And they will disregard that, and the end product will be that it'll damage that person. Perhaps it'll damage them for life. We find that young people, so many times, we'll make a decision on the mate that they're going to marry for life, that mate that they're going to live with for whatever time that they have here, and that decision is made based simply on physical appearance. Spiritual attitudes are not involved in it. Just how that person appeals to me at this particular time in my life. And what has happened so many times with individuals and with marriages such as that? The end result of that is the physical appearance in a few years is gone. The attraction between the two no longer exists. And they have made a decision based on things that are physical that they are going to have to live with for the remainder of their life. It seems so many times that decisions based on the satisfaction of the flesh is the only consideration that some people make in the final decision in their life. We become just like Lot, don't we? We look at the plains of the Jordan. We look at how physically beautiful it might be. And we make our decisions and our choices based solely upon that. We become very selfish, just as Lot. But I believe Lot also was an individual who was disrespectful. Lot, I am convinced, as Abraham being the older of the two individuals, should have allowed Abraham to make the first decision. He should have given in to Abraham and said, Abraham, whatever you want to do, you choose, and I'll take what's left. Again, I'm convinced his greed would not allow him to do that. He saw the plains of the Jordan, and he desired them. And he didn't want to settle for anything else. So he did not allow Abraham to make any other choice. Lot's decision, again was purely made for carnal rather than spiritual reasons. I'm convinced that it mattered little to him whether or not the nearest neighbors that he had were so evil that God was about to destroy the cities. That really didn't matter unto him. His choice was based upon the flesh. His choice was based upon having the best land so that he might prosper. Once again, I believe we can learn a lesson from Lot in this way. Because, as we mentioned, Christians often make just one decision that is going to ruin and going to destroy their entire life. We mentioned that concerning a mate. But there are other decisions that come along in a person's life. As they are growing older and they're beginning to mature and they decide that they're going to take a job, they're going to have to work for a living. They recognize that. God wants them to do that. But they make a decision in the work area and the job that they're going to pursue or the career that they're going to pursue that is going to put their soul in jeopardy. But all they begin to see is how that they might prosper physically. What that they might have physically in this life. And the decision is based upon that. And they take little account into how it might affect their spiritual life. As Lot, deciding where one is to live, if we base it solely upon physical considerations, I believe we're going to get in trouble sooner or later. Because we find of the decision that Lot made, that his entire life was changed, and those that were around him. Lot's decision started a series of steps, and I believe they were unforeseen by Lot. Could he have seen the end result of the first decision that he made, he would have never made it. But his first decision set in line a chain of events that led him to his downfall. Lot's outcome is reflected once again in the decision that he had made. If you'll notice the progression in the life of Lot, I think you'll understand what we're talking about. In the beginning, he was given a choice. Abram said to him, you choose, go to the right or go to the left, whatever. I will go in the opposite direction. And it says, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. We see the next step in his choice that he made or in the decision. And it says, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Now, I don't know exactly how many cities were there, but he made the choice and he moved in that direction. We find that there is a progression here. Finally, it says, as we read just a few moments ago, Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Or as the American Standard says, the New King James, pitched his tent as far as Sodom. It seems that perhaps he's not yet in the city, but he is progressively going toward that. He chose the plains. He wanted to live in the cities of the plain. And now he's outside of the city of Sodom. Here we find a progression. And Sodom was a terribly wicked city. We read there in verse 13, the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. We find all kinds of sins being committed by these individuals. Homosexuality and bestiality and sodomy. All of these things that these individuals committed in the sight of God were part of that city. They were very, very wicked. And that word wicked in the original Hebrew means to break in pieces. What God is saying concerning these individuals is that they had broken, or they had taken the standard of right and wrong, and they had shattered it to pieces to where they could not understand or did not even care what was right or wrong in the sight of God. They were living by their own lust and desires, that established order of things. They were completely disregarding and destroying any distinction between what is right and what is wrong. It says they were sinners against the Lord exceedingly. You know, most of the times we think of sin as being against one another. But all sin is before God, and all sin is against God. Lot could have probably made the statement that as he was living there and living among them, I don't go along with their sins. And I believe, as we can read in 2 Peter, he didn't go along with the things that they were doing. He might have said to himself and to others, they're not going to have an influence on me. And maybe personally, as we can read the end result, that didn't necessarily have an influence upon him. But he was not the only one that he had to consider in the decision that he made, because we're going to see what happened to his family as a result of that. Just simply look at the influence of the sins of the people as they had upon Lot, and the ultimate outcome of his family. Certainly, Lot learned the hard way that evil companions corrupt good morals. Finally, look, though, in chapter 14 and verse 12. When it's talking about the kings that came in and that captured the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says concerning Lot in 14 and 12, they also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. We find a progression here, don't we? Lot made a decision. He chose the plains of the Jordan. He wanted to live in the cities of the plain. He pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Where is he now? He's in the city itself. He's living there with them. We find then this righteous man there in the city. As he was taken prisoner, this would have been a wonderful opportunity for him to finally say, I'm going to rid myself of this situation. I'm going to get out of this wicked city. I'm going to take my family and separate myself, and I'm going somewhere else. But even after he was captured, after he was set free by Abraham and his servants, he went back to live in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look in verse 1 of chapter 19. And we'll find even a further progression in the case of Lot. When the two angels were coming to the city to tell Lot that they were going to destroy it. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now this is important for us to understand. To sit in the gate of a city is to be there with the individuals that trade and come in and out. Many times it was looked upon as a place of respect and authority. So Lot was sitting in the gate of the city with the rest of the city leaders that were there and the men of influence. So again, we see kind of a progression on the part of Lot. And I'm sure if he could have seen the end result of the decision that he was going to make, he would have never made it in the beginning. But it was based upon a physical appeal. It had finally gotten to the point that we might say, by the other citizens of the city of Sodom, Lot's just one of us. He's one of the citizens here. One decision that he made gradually affected his whole life. Once again, I'm sure if he had the sight, the foresight to see the end result, the extreme condition that he and his family would have gotten in, he would have never made that decision. It probably would have shocked him to death to realize that this was going to be the end result. But it came upon him slowly, a little bit at a time. Lot reaped the consequences of the things that he had done. As we read just a few moments ago there in 2 Peter, Lot was vexed by the wickedness that he saw. Now this word vexed, or as we said, this word tormented, means simply to exhaust by labor and by suffering. To be, as it were, beat from the distress, pain, or agony of the thing. It tormented, it tortured, it distressed Lot to see the things that were going on. And you know, most of us, if we had it were in that kind of a situation, we would want to get ourselves out of that. We would not want to live in that kind of agony and that kind of pain. But something kept Lot there. Something kept him in that city and in that situation. He was tormented when he beheld the sins of the people. And apparently, he was very fruitless in any attempts that he made to change them. Yet he stayed there. He did not move out. Again, that's kind of like some people today. They can't change evil people, although they have tried time and time again, but they also can't give them up. They can't separate themselves from them, even for the benefit of their own souls. Maybe it's because of the physical things that are connected with those that are wicked, that they cannot separate themselves. But Lot was vexed. Couldn't change them, but he didn't want to leave. Lot's own moral standard also became confused. Because if you remember the story, there in chapter 19, as the two men came into the city, Lot was able to persuade them, "You come into my house and you stay here. I will protect you," more or less. He didn't want to leave them in the streets to the desires of the sinful men and women that were there. And so the men of the city began to beat on the door of Lot's house. And they wanted, said, "Send out those men. We want them." They wanted them for sinful purposes. What happened? Well, if we recall the story, Lot says, "Don't take these two men. I have two daughters that you can have. And you do with them whatever your pleasure might be." What happened? Lot, in the midst of all this sin, was really offering one sin for another. "Don't take these men. Here, take my daughters. You can have them." He was just offering one sin for another. His moral standard began to be confused in the city in which he was living as a result of the sin that was there. Again, he was almost like trading one sin for another. Certainly, he was confused by his surroundings. Lot lost everything that meant anything to him. He even lost his daughters, except those that fled with him. His sons-in-law were there in the city. Perhaps he even had grandchildren that were there. He eventually lost his wife and all of those things that were his possession. Lot lost everything as a result of this decision that he had made based upon simple physical appearance and how he could prosper. I believe that we can say, as we look at the life of Lot, and this happens today, happens far too many times, that in trying to provide for his family, I believe that's what he was saying, had in mind, as he saw the plains of the Jordan, and he wanted his prosper, he wanted wealth, he wanted greater herds and cattle, Perhaps he could pass this on to his children. In trying to provide for his family, he lost his family. He lost those that he was trying to provide for because, again, his decision was not based upon spiritual but upon physical things. He failed to put his relationship to God first. And as a result, he lost that which he wanted to provide for. How many times does that happen in our society today? How many times does that happen even among those who are members of the body of Christ? A father and a husband wants to provide so much for their children that he begins to work and work and work, and he's gone all the time, and he's not there to bring up his children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He causes a strain in the family relationship because he wants to provide for his family. And then in the end, when he has enough to provide for them, he loses them as a result, because he left God out of his decision. Time and time again, we can draw that parallel today with that of Lot. I believe we can also draw the conclusion that his own faith and even his own righteousness had been weakened, because after all of this was over with, and the cities were destroyed, and Abel was able to escape with the life, his life and the lives of his daughters, that his daughters were able to get him drunk and commit incest with him. This would not have been the result had he had the influence of a godly Abraham upon him, had he associated with Abraham rather than the wicked people of Sodom. It was a direct result of the decision that he was going to make, that I am going to live near Sodom. I am going to be in Sodom. I am going to choose that which will cause me to prosper physically. How many bad decisions, and maybe even in our own life, have been the direct result of evil companions and evil influence? Lot's remaining daughters also were ruined morally because of the decision that he made. To them, the most important thing was having children. And it didn't even matter if it was with their own father. They wanted to have children. They didn't want their line to end. And as a result of that, they got their father drunk and they bore his children. The influence of Sodom, the influence of these wicked cities upon them, distorted the values of his children. Maybe they didn't distort his too much. Maybe it wasn't all that great of an influence upon him. But look at what it did to his children. The decision he made did not just simply affect him. It affected his offspring also. I guess we can see that there's a lot of parallels and a lot of lessons between Lot and the children and parents of today. Because parents, as parents, we try to teach our children. And I'm sure that Lot tried to teach his children that which was right and acceptable in the sight of God. But children learn so much more by our actions than by our words, don't they? We might tell them 10,000 words of what they ought to do, but if we make one action contrary to those words, more than likely they're going to remember the action. We have to couple these together in teaching our children. Lot apparently failed to do this with his children, and the influence that the wicked city had upon them led to the decisions then that they made. All of these affected him. And it all goes back to that one decision that he made in the very beginning, when his herds and his flocks became too big for him and Abram to stay in the same place, that he looked toward the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, the plains of the Jordan, and he made that decision. Look what it led to. What a terribly high price it is for an individual to pay for a carnal mind, for decisions being based upon those things that are solely physical. How that it might help, how that it might aid me or others in physical things. Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8 talks about those things that we sow, we will reap. And if we sow bad decisions, then we're also going to reap the result of that just as Lot did. Certainly this is a tragic example for us to heed. But with many of us, maybe it's the only way we're going to learn. To look at the failures, to look at how a life was ruined and a family was ruined because God was left out of a decision or it was based solely upon those things that are physical. Far too many will only learn after their life has been ruined. Maybe there's no way out of the situation that they find themselves in, and they'll have to just simply live with that. We would ask ourselves in conclusion this morning, are we like Lot? Are we looking toward the plains of the Jordan? Are we pitching our tents toward Sodom and those things that would only satisfy in a physical way? Are we making our decisions based solely upon that or upon other things? We need to make the decisions in our life based on what is best for me spiritually. Not just physically, not just morally. What is best for me spiritually? And my relationship unto God. I am convinced. I've seen it, and perhaps you have seen it also. That the individual that leaves God out of their decisions will live to regret it sooner or later. They will live to regret the decision that they have made in one way or another sooner or later when we've left God out of our decisions. This morning as we are gathered here, you have a decision to make if you're not a child of God. Are you going to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning? Are you going to do those things that are pleasing in His sight? God would want you to make that right decision. He would want you to consider Him and consider His Word, to study what He has said so that you can be right in the decision that you make. You can be pleasing in His sight. Well, the Word of God says for that person who is outside of the fold of safety, they must have faith, repent of their sins, confess their faith in Jesus Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. That's the right decision. That's the decision to make in mind with God's commands. If you're here this morning and someone who is a child of God but in some way has sinned, you brought reproach upon the name of Jesus Christ your Lord, upon the church for which He purchased with His blood, and you need to ask forgiveness of that, there is an opportunity. There's a song that is going to be sung. The words are to encourage you to do what is right. That's the right decision. That's the decision with God in mind. That's the decision that is spiritually best for you. You want to have a home with God when this life is over? Make that right decision this morning. You're here. You're subject to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?